Support for Budget Arcade is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Big news! Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and at all times. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good, too?
Hey, Scott, you know, you ever played a game for so long and you're real hot and heavy into what's going on the screen and you're gaming away and it's humid, the air doesn't hit you just right, and you kind of smelly, you just kind of stink.
I mean, we are in Florida, Mark, so swamp ass is a real thing.
Well, Manscaped has the smell for you.
So it's called Refine. So here's the thing, ever since we received our Manscaped package, you know, the best smelling part of me was someplace that only few could travel. But now, with the cologne, I can put it anywhere, and everyone at the mall can bask in my musk.
With the same signature scent that's in all the Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection.
It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman for the night to keep you fresh and ready for anything.
Don't forget, you get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARCADE when you go to manscaped.com.
That's manscaped.com. Promo code ARCADE, ARCADE. And tell them Budget Arcade sent you. Your balls and now your body will thank you. Hey there, and welcome back to Budget Arcade, the free-to-play gaming podcast to help you navigate through the growing realm of free-to-play games. My name is Jeff.
And I am Mark.
And we really got a good one for you today. We just threw this together in the last 2 minutes. Let's see what happens.
It's the best episode we've ever had.
All right. So we're going to Mount Rushmore again. If you don't remember, we did the Mount Rushmore of what? Game consoles, right? Or was it something else?
We've done so many Mount Rushmores, I don't remember.
We've done one. We've literally only done one other one. So, we're doing the Mount Rushmore.
It was shooters. It was shooters.
Shooters. Okay, that's right. That episode, that was one of our episodes. So, we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of video game movies. So, we're bridging the gap between movie and video game, and we're delving into a realm of just awfulness. But some of these are good. So, I could only come up with three movies that are video game based movies that I actually liked and have seen. I think, Mark, that there is a gap in there's a lot of the recent video game movies like Rampage and Assassin's Creed and the new Tomb Raider movie I haven't seen. So I can't really speak to those. I'm going to lean on you.
So early video game movies were, you know, we're talking the Mortal Kombat, the Super Mario Brothers, though there is a large gap in quality from those early films, which were generally terrible, and today's video game films, which if you look past in their most recent films of the past maybe 3 to 4 years, video game films have gotten better. So I think we have to preface our Mount Rushmore with a large number of the films to choose from are genuinely terrible.
Well, here's the thing. I have three movies on my list. One of them is rated well on Rotten Tomatoes. The other two are not. One of them I genuinely enjoy and think is a good movie. The other I genuinely enjoy because it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, those are the fun ones.
So you have four. Why don't you give me your fourth place film, your nominee? So what we're going to do, we're going to throw our nominees in. I've got three. He's got four. We'll vote to see which four end up on the Budget Arcade Mount Rushmore video game movie thing.
So, and I guess I have to preface my list with, I've seen a lot of video game films. However, none of them are great. But they, like I've said before, they have progressively gotten better. And so my four are films that have been released within the past 5 years.
All four of them are?
All four of them are.
Okay, we're going to have some variance. I think one of yours is probably one of mine, and then the other two, because my other two are some of those 90s ones you're talking about. But go ahead. What's your first one?
So the first one, Rampage. It was directed by Brad Peyton, starring Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It was a very Rock-centric film. Not a whole lot of Rampage video game
lore. Rampage in name only, basically.
Just something that they could kind of lean on and be like, hey, let's try to draw in another audience. But the film is The Rock, and it's an enjoyable film. It's a creature film. The third act of the film deals with the variants of creatures that have appeared in the Rampage video games. Mm-hmm. And so that's I enjoyed it because I'm a big The Rock fan. I love him. I think he's one of cinema's last defining movie stars.
So I'm a wrestling fan, longtime wrestling fan. So there's always that attachment. Me personally, I think Batista is the better actor if we're talking wrestlers to acting. As far as acting goes, right?
Sure. I can agree with that. But I mean, everybody gravitates to. I mean, his charisma,
The Rock, absolutely. The Rock is a better action star. I would say he's just throw The Rock in a movie, put some explosions behind him, and call it a day. I forgot where I was going with this.
And your film's going to make $100 million easy,
just because he's in it. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. He drives the box office, and the film was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I haven't played a Rampage game in years and years, but
I love the original. The Nintendo Rampage was one of my favorites. So I was going to say something else. Oh, when you're talking about The Rock being sort of the last big movie star, I would kind of put him as maybe he's back in my day. We used to have Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal. Who's the other one I'm thinking of?
Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
Yeah.
Stallone. Chuck Norris. We had these action stars where you just watched their movies because they were in it and it was an action movie.
Yeah.
And we don't really have that anymore. We don't have, well, frankly, what's missing is we don't have martial artists, right, that are making movies outside of, like, even Jackie Chan doesn't really do it anymore. Where I kind of miss that, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking, movies don't have to. Editing has gotten so good that, you know, Jackie Chan wasn't a real, I mean, later in his career, he became a better actor. But early on, I mean, he was this martial arts guy that was in a movie. And the same with, you know, Jean-Claude and even Chuck Norris, you know, those guys weren't great actors. You know, they were in films just because they were the badasses of the movies. And
okay, so I'm going to do my third pick since I don't have a fourth pick, and we'll go back and forth. So let's get into it. We're going to have, I don't even know if you've seen this. Maybe you have. I hope you have. I did mention the action stars of my era. My favorite was Jean-Claude Van Damme. I love him. I love Bloodsport. I love Kickboxer. And I love Street Fighter, the movie.
Oh yeah, no, Street Fighter is a classic.
It's so bad that it's good. Right. It's horrible. But okay, you've got Jean-Claude playing Guile. Guile's an American, but for some reason in this movie, he has an Austrian accent because they chose Jean-Claude, which is great. Dalsum is in the movie, but he's just some guy in a laboratory. Blanca is wearing bad Hulk makeup. Zangief is great. He has just the stupidest lines. Ken, Ryu, the whole thing. Sagat doesn't look anything like Sagat. He's some shriveled old man as opposed to some buff 7 foot tall kickboxer or Muay Thai. But Raul Julia as M. Bison.
Oh yeah.
Steals the show.
Oh yeah.
It's the last movie he did before he passed away. If you don't know who Raul Julia is, watch the Addams Family movies from the 90s. Fantastic. He's the best thing about this movie. I love it. I can sit down and watch it and enjoy it. But if you're looking to be moved, you're going to be disappointed. But it's just nonsense, but it's fun nonsense. It's good.
Yeah, no, this is Jean-Claude's heyday, early 90s, it's campy. It's, riddled with one-liners, and you're right, Raul Julia steals the show. He is, the entire movie, while Jean-Claude Van Damme is the main character, and was likely the highest paid actor in this film, Raul Julia, every scene, Raul Julia steals.
He overacts at every point, and it fits the tone of the movie, and it just works.
And I actually think his costume,
it
was great. It was very, very to the game. Everything about him was Street Fighter.
Yeah, the red leather.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this movie. It's not going to go on my Mount Rushmore just simply because it's not a good movie, but. It is something that I will, if it's on TV and I'm flipping through the channels, I'll be like, oh, let me watch some of the Street Fighter. It's a worthy nomination.
Just say it's good and you love it, and then tell me your next movie because it's good and you love it.
All right. So let's see my list here. So my third movie is Doom Annihilation.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So, Doom Annihilation, I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah.
This isn't the one with The Rock in it, right?
No. Or is
it?
No.
Okay.
It is not. Doom Annihilation was a straight to or video on demand release, 2019. And it was
before everything was straight on demand.
Right. Yes. This was a chosen film by a studio. I don't know what studio released this, but the studio said this movie probably won't make any money in the theaters. Let's release it so you can rent it for $5.99. And it's directed by a guy that has directed some films that you've never heard of. And it stars a bunch of people that you never heard of as well. However, it is so dialed down. It's a horror film at its core. But it's very... It lines up so much with the original Doom video games, much more than the previous Doom film, which this is kind of a continuation of. It doesn't draw too much parallels to, but it does make reference. But it's so dialed down, and they use the budget, which probably wasn't much, and they use the budget that they had to elevate certain elements of the film. There's not too much CGI. The most CGI in the film is towards the end. And it's a horror survival film that takes place in space. And the only real drawback of the film is that it doesn't take place too much outside of space. And to me, Doom is a...
You're on Mars. Doom is being
right,
on Mars.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't take place on Mars. But as far as the lore behind the film, it's worth your time. It's worth an hour and a half of your time if you're just looking for a film that does a lot with so little.
Yeah. I'll add it to my watch list. I didn't even know it existed, so.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, okay, I'll look there first, but usually I check Google TV because it tells you where movies are, and it didn't mention it, but it's been wrong before. So my next movie, I suspect, is on your list. Detective Pikachu.
It is.
Yeah. It's one we agree on. So I'm not a huge Pokemon fan, but the fun, I watched this with my son who loves Pokemon, and the thrill of spotting and finding the Pokemon and seeing them lifelike is great. That's my favorite thing about the movie, and that doesn't say much for it as a movie, I suppose, but that was my favorite thing, is just seeing how the true to life versions, if you can call them that, of Pokemon are going to look in this game. And they're like to scale. So Charizard is massive. Pikachu is about the size of a cat. Gyarados is huge, you know, and the animation looks so great. And I'm glad that we got to this point in history where they could do great looking. So about the time this came out, right, Sonic the Hedgehog had that trailer that everyone hated. And they took Sonic back to the drawing board.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was pointing at Pokemon saying, just do this. This is what you do. Make them look like they look in the game, but in real life, which is probably a tall order. You know, obviously they went back and fixed Sonic, but this is how you make an animated movie with the real life and stuff. You know, we got the new Mario Brothers movie coming up. I'm hoping that they kind of do this sort of thing with it. The plot of the movie is fine. You know, it's nothing special, but Ryan Reynolds voices Pikachu and he's great. It's Ryan Reynolds, man. And it's worth watching. I've watched it twice and enjoyed it both times.
Yeah, it's, the film drew from the massive star that Ryan Reynolds is, and so it already had, it's because he's the only real mainstream, you know, big time actor in the film, and he's not even in the film until the very end.
I mean, how do you feel about Bill Nye?
Is he an actor?
No, Bill Nye. Not Bill Nye the Science Guy, the other Bill Nye, the British one, who played the antagonist.
Oh, the guy was in Pirates.
Yeah, his last name is Nighy, and I believe it's pronounced Nighy.
If you're in the Discord, let us know. You're not putting Bill Nye on a.
No, you're right.
On a poster and, you know, hoping to...
Certainly not in America. I think in the UK you could probably get away with it.
Yeah, maybe 20 years ago, but, you know, he's...
Damn. Coming for Bill Nye.
Ryan Reynolds is the star of the film. His voice is very recognizable. you know, it almost felt like I was watching every Ryan Reynolds movie, but looking at Pikachu. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds has a very distinct delivery and his comedic tone. He's very recognizable, and so this film plays off that. This film banks on everybody loving Ryan Reynolds. And this came out, you know, after the success of Deadpool. And so Ryan Reynolds, even though he's been a very successful movie star pretty much his entire career, Deadpool kind of put him on another level. And Detective Pikachu capitalizes on that.
And I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to get into a debate. And I do believe Ryan Reynolds has drawing power. But I think being a Pokemon movie accounts for a lot as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, right, yes. But I'm saying, like, you know, they could have gotten anybody.
Because Ryan Reynolds has had his flops, right?
Sure.
But I think it's the combination. I think it's well casted and it's Pokemon. Because you get this is really, honestly, I know there's the animated cartoons, But this is really, in my opinion, the first big budget Pokemon movie.
Yeah. Well, I think the first one. I think the first one had a pretty good, pretty healthy budget.
Yeah, I guess this is live action though, with the CGI. So, but we both agree it's a good movie and it deserves to be here.
It is. It's a film that I hope spurs more Pokemon films.
I do too.
Not necessarily starring Ryan Reynolds or Justice Smith or whoever, but in the same universe with the same.
Yeah, I think this story is franchise. Done. But you can go into the same world, that same city, and things like that. Because the city's stunning, and it's great. It's great.
I thought it did. I thought it did a really good job of showing kind of a gritty side to Pokemon. You know, there was the whole Pokemon fighting ring.
You know, which that's what Pokemon is, right? But it did it without being too heavy-handed.
Right.
Like
right.
where it was like Zack Snyder levels of grimdark, but you know,
no, it was good. I love it. It's a film that I will draw back on, that I will watch, you know, when it's on TV or if it's on Netflix or whatever. So it's got a lot of staying power and it deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore.
All right, I'm hearing Scott yell into his podcast player to move on. So what's your next movie?
It's my last movie.
Is it? I thought you had four.
I do. And we talked about Rampage and Doom Annihilation, and then we agreed on...
So we're at our number one. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, because my number one I'm going to fight tooth and nail for. But go ahead.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog. The one that released early in 2020, and starring James Marsden and the voice of Ben Schwartz as Sonic, and Jim Carrey. I thought it was so fantastic the way it stayed true to the video game. The characters stayed true to the video game. Jim Carrey was a revelation. This movie brought everybody back to Jim Carrey from the 90s. I mean, he channeled every character he ever played in the 90s, playing Dr. Robotnik. And he's the star of the film. Every scene he's in, he steals because he's so over the top. It's kind of like the Raul Julia comparison in Street Fighter. I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet.
I've been meaning to. It's not for lack of not wanting to. I definitely want to. I'm a Sega boy, so and I've heard nothing but good things. I just haven't set the time aside to do it. Yeah, maybe this weekend.
And the time will be served well. You'll love it. James Marsden's probably on the Mount Rushmore of actors who have played roles with CGI characters. He's been in a ton of films that where he's had to act opposite of a green guy, you know, because the green guy is a bunny rabbit or you know, whatever. But
this is not a James Marsden podcast.
It could be though.
No, he can't.
But no, I mean, everything about the film, from the plot to the acting to the callbacks to the characters, it's perfect. And the fact that the director Rob Letterman, and he's done kids movies before, the fact that he put together such great action pieces throughout this film, and there's a ton of them. There's a ton of action sequences in this film that harken back to the original Sega, where everything's just fast paced and moving, and it's a great film. It's the best video game film cinema's seen yet to date. And what I love about this film is that it opens the door for a lot more Sonic films. And I sincerely hope that we get much more of Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. He's great.
I believe we will see more Sonic films because it was a financial success as well. I bet I really thought the movie was doomed when they had to go back to the drawing board on the character design. But apparently they recovered, like the the movie was already good, but the character design of Sonic was wrong. They fixed it and they came out with a good movie. So,
well, that's a testament to I guess the modern age of the internet.
Do you want to know what movie I have seen in theaters more than any other movie ever? I've seen lots of movies several times, but I've never seen any other movie in theaters more than this one. And that's because you have to see it in theaters. The first time I saw it in theaters, the volume was so loud, it rattled my head. And it just was amazing because the opening song kicked on and my childhood was complete. I moved from being a kid to an adult in that day. The first time I saw Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
If you don't know. To me, okay, I know you use the word perfect to describe Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know that I could use the word perfect because there's a lot wrong here. The CGI has not dated well. Reptile looks awful. Okay, there's plenty when Scorpion does get over here, he has a little like bird that comes out of his hand and it doesn't look that great. Okay. So CG aside, this movie is amazing. Okay. The cast is incredible. Like the guy playing Shang Tsung is so good at being evil. Liu Kang is Liu Kang. This is the guy that to me is Liu Kang. He looks like Liu Kang. The casting on Sonya is Veronica Vaughn from Billy Madison. She's great. Topping it all off, though, is Kano. Is this Australian guy? He's amazing. The guy playing Johnny Cage is so good. The opening scene, the introduction to Johnny Cage, is like my favorite character introduction because you don't know. He's fighting these guys in an alley, right? Or like in a warehouse. And he beats them all up and he kicks a guy and the guy just stands there and he goes, "This is where you fall down." And you're like, that's a dumb line from a dumb movie. But then the guy falls over and you find out they're on set and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Like the choreography of the fights. I mean, one of my favorite action scenes in any movie ever is Johnny Cage versus Scorpion. It's so good. It like from a martial arts standpoint, the action, the music, it's a masterpiece, and it has, in my opinion, has not been topped since. Now, I get if you look through, you don't have rose-tinted glasses like I do, and you go back and watch this, there's going to be tons of cheese, because there's tons of cheese.
Yeah.
But it's the first time I went to a movie theater to watch it. Like, I think I'm a kid, and I saw Mario Brothers in the theater, and it was awful. But then I went to the movie theaters and saw this. And it was incredible. And I went again and again. And then I went to the Dollar Theater and I went again and again and again. And I saw it in theaters as many times as possible because it'll never be better than that. It's the best theater experience I've ever had.
So the last movie I saw at a drive-in theater was Mortal Kombat back in, what is it, 97? I was living in a big city and on the outskirts of the city was this drive-in theater, and it was a double feature with what's the name of that movie? It's the movie about Dumbo Drop or something? I don't know.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Operation Dumbo Drop. That's what it was. Wow, and it was a double feature because it's weird because those movies aren't anything alike. But
did you watch that one first?
Yes, that was hey, let's get the kids in.
So you were bummed. The second movie fires up, you're stoked.
Yeah, no, and it was great. I remember watching it, and that is Mortal Kombat is my defining memory of a drive-in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the perfect film to define a drive-in theater, is because it's not serious enough. You have to be glued to the screen. Mm-hmm. You can go see.
But I was, though.
Right. No, I get it. I left it off my Rushmore is simply because I'm kind of a snob in that way. It wasn't a great film. It hasn't held up well. You go back and watch it, you're like, oh, this is trash. And But for me, there are so many nostalgic recalls to Mortal Kombat from my childhood, and I have no problem with it being on a Mount Rushmore.
Okay, good, because I was going to fight you to the death to get it on there. So we have two movies then that we can agree are on the official Budget Arcade Mount Rushmore of video game movies, and that will be Mortal Kombat and Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, that's fine.
So we got to fill in the gaps, but I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog sounds good. It's because it probably honestly is, as far as like movies go, is probably the best of them, even though I haven't seen it yet.
No, I mean, you're going to come away, if you watch it this weekend or whenever you do watch it, you're going to come away going, man, I should have seen that sooner.
So is Street Fighter in the fourth spot? Will Raul Julia's face?
Yeah, you know,
Rushmore.
Raul Julia can, his face can be on it. Yes. I can get behind that idea. You know what bums me about Street Fighter though is that Jean-Claude Van Damme is so wooden.
Oh yeah,
he
sucks in it.
You're talking
and
about
I'm
the
a Van Damme fan. Like I watch Bloodsport and Kickboxer and Death Warren and anything I can. I loved him as a kid. I couldn't get enough.
There's no emotion. Jean-Claude Van Damme has done other roles where he's displayed more acting range.
I'll say he's more charismatic now than he's ever been, because I think it was Expendables 2 that he's in.
Yeah.
And he's the only good part in that movie. Like, he's the only thing that I'm like, thank God, someone with charisma. But yeah, before this, he didn't have any.
And it's and that's so weird to say about such a huge actor in the 90s. Is because, you know, action movies in the 90s, they were driven by the main character.
Mm-hmm. And, I loved them, man.
Right. And so, like, his films were always very, like, his characters were always very serious, very stoic. And to me, that him and Street Fighter was a bit of a miscast, but
undoubtedly, yeah.
You know, Raul Julia ties it all together, and he's the reason you see the film.
It's still fun. I mean, the guy playing Zangief is having a good time. Like,
I think most people are having a good time in that film.
The guy playing Saget is really dry. But Raul Julia is having a great time. The guy playing Zangief is having a good time. I think Ken and Ryu are doing their best. E. Honda is pretty good, you know, but it's worth watching. I mean, but if you watch it nowadays, I wonder, like, if you're in Discord, and you didn't grow up in the 90s, I'd be really interested to see what you think of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat going back and watching them.
The CGI is not great. It's terrible.
I don't hold that against the movie because it was such a young thing, but there is some cheese that has not aged well. It's gone bad in the fridge.
So what I just learned, and I did not know this, but the director of Street Fighter, Steven D'Souza, also directed Die Hard. And
Die Hard's an all-time classic.
So, there's a lot of disparity between, you know, and you kind of wonder how much, you know, how much a studio, you know, was like, hey, we have to pander to this, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there has to be all of this in it. And ultimately, all of it weighs down on the film, but it has its redeeming qualities. And I would say that, yes, I probably overlooked it, and it should be on the Budget Arcade Rushmore.
There you go. All right. Well, that was somewhat civil. I do want to thank you for listening. You can get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at Budget Arcade, Facebook.com/Budget Arcade. Our website's www.budgetarcade.com. TikTok is Budget Arcade Podcast? Question yes. mark? Thank
so.
You. You can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/budgetarcade, if you want to support the show. Don't forget to leave us a five. Excuse me, I've got gas. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. I think that's it. Our music's by Stimage. You can find his music on metroidmetal.com. Game on. We'll be right back.
Imagineville Podcast Network.